have to share. Our speaker today is Kevin Bowles. He has an extensive ministry resume. Been all over the place. I'm not going to read all of it and share it all, but he's currently the administrator at Canterbury House in Alexandria, and he's our interim minister of music here at First Baptist Church Pineville, and we love having Kevin with us. He's been a fun addition to our staff. We laugh a lot, and he's very talented in everything that he does. Kevin has spent the last 3 years in chaplain and senior care ministries, and before that, he was youth ministry strategist, or the youth ministry person at the Louisiana Baptist Convention for 20 years. And during that time, he also served as interim minister of something, music, youth, education, whatever, for churches all over Louisiana. Kevin has been married to his college sweetheart, Judy, since 1987. They have three children: Katie, who works as a worship associate at Pine Lake Church in Jackson, Mississippi; Nathan, who's in medical residency; and Bailey, who's a senior at Louisiana College. Nathan and Judy have, Nathan and his wife have blessed Kevin and Judy with two grandchildren. That's really their favorites of all of them. And one of the things you can always do is measure a guy and or a husband and wife by what their kids do. And their kids are doing well. And we can see that Kevin and Judy have done well serving the Lord and blessing the world with a new great Christian legacy. Kevin keeps us in stitches and staff meetings here, and I know some of that's going to ooze out today. He's a great partner in ministry and a friend, so please welcome Kevin Bowles.
Goodness. Well, thank you so much. It was a day unlike any other day for 2 7-year-old boys, and we began the day riding in our radio flyer red wagon like we always did in the summertime. I was the driver. My twin brother Keith was the pusher because he could make the car noise better than I could. You know, you understand this. And we lived in Plainview, Texas at the time, in the panhandle of Texas, and we had been mesmerized just down the road from the house that we were living in of the construction that had been going on at this house until this one particular day when this amazing truck made its way down our road. Now, this was a huge truck, and what caught our attention immediately was the fact that there was a football spinning on the back of the truck. You understand what I'm saying here. And this truck backed up, and all of these workers had these boots on, and this gray matter just poured out of the back of the truck, and it was wet and slimy. And me and my brother just sat there, and we watched as they poured the concrete for a driveway at this new house that they were building. And we watched them all day long. My mom even came down and brought us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so that we could have food while we watched the entertainment. And that just kept us out of the house. And so we watched this truck, and they poured it, and they made it really smooth and really pretty. And we watched them all day long. And then they left. These men left. And they went home. And my brother and I were there. And we had watched them do what they did. And my brother got out of the wagon and walked over to the driveway and just kind of went. And he could see his footprint in the concrete. Then the next thing I know is he takes his hand and he lays it down and he puts his hand in there and he goes, "That's awesome." And so then we found sticks and we wrote our names in the driveway, Keith and Kevin, not in small letters, big letters, big letters. And then we realized, you know what? If we push each other in the wagon, we can make tracks in the driveway. And we made tracks all over this driveway. And my brother, who is now a family practice physician, people's lives are in his hands today, decided, you know what? I remember our phone number. Let's write our phone number on the driveway. So he did. 293-2450. I will never forget that phone number. It's burned in my brain. And so we just left and we sat out in the street and we thought, you know what? That's beautiful. We did really good today. That was awesome. And so we go home and we sleep good until the phone rings the next morning and the construction worker calls my mom and says, "Do you have two little boys that have a red wagon?" "I sure do. They're just precious. They're just gorgeous. You know, would you go out there and look at their shoes and look at that wagon? The concrete was caked on the wagon, and our shoes were out there. My mom banished us to our room that day because they had to pay for a new driveway. $5,000. My dad has never let me live that down. And it wasn't until I was in college that he finally told me, he said, you know what, our insurance paid that. You didn't have to pay anything. Really? You know? So now we're in our room the next day, and it's two twin boys in our room. My dad put locks on the outside of the door so we can't get out, and so we're inside the room, and my brother goes over to the drapes, twin beds side by side, and he goes over to the drapes, and he starts pulling on them. This is the next day, and he begins to climb up the drapes, and he's hanging on them like Tarzan, and the next thing I know, he's turned around, and he goes, hey, push me. So I push him, and so he begins to swing back and forth in front of the window, just like Tarzan, you know? Well, I'm no dummy. I'm going to go get on the other one. Keith cannot have all the fun. And so I go get on the other drape, and we begin to swing back and forth, just having the time of our life, until we suddenly realize that we hear a cracking noise in the sheetrock above us. And it begins to crack, and we hear this noise, and the next thing we realize, the sheetrock, the curtain rod comes out of the wall. And my brother and I are just hanging on. Oh, no. Whoever put that curtain rod up there did a marvelous job, because not only did we pull the curtain rod out of the wall, but we pulled both sheets of 8x10 sheetrock off of the wall onto the top of us. This is the next day after the driveway episode, all right? So you know what happens when you work with drywall. If it shatters, it just becomes a cloud of dust in the room. And so my mother hears the commotion. She unlocks the door. It's just foggy in our room. And she walks in and she says, what have you boys done? And my brother raises up off the bed as though risen from the dead, you know, covered in sheetrock dust, and just goes, nothing, you know. My mom called my dad home from work that day, okay? It's a bad day when your mom calls your dad home, all right? So we all have bad days, isn't that right? We all have bad days. We all go through bad days. Now then, fast forward 41 years, okay? I'll let you do the math. Fast forward 41 years. My family and I are in New York City, and we are doing everything you do in New York City. It's my daughter's senior trip from high school. If you've ever been to New York City, then you know that you walk and you ride the subway. You don't rent a car. You walk and you ride. So we were doing approximately 15 to 17 miles a day. The third day, I could not keep up with my family. I couldn't figure out what was going on. My son, he's in med school. Dad, come on. There was no sympathy in my family. Would you keep up, you know? I even had to take the next subway one time because I got there after them, you know. I'll meet you later, you know. The fourth or fifth day, I started getting chest pains, and it started radiating up into my jaw. And I thought, you know what, that's not right. I've had really bad cavities before, but this is not that. So I called my brother secretly, who is a doctor, and I said, here's what's going on. And he said, you need to get to a doctor right now. Well, I'm hard-headed enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait till I get back home. We pushed through it for two more days, pushed through the pain. It hurt. There's no motivation like heart pain. The long and short of it is I came home, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a heart cath. I'll be done with it. And so they scheduled me for a heart cath over here at Rapides. And I go in for the heart cath, and I was done in 10 minutes. I thought, that's awesome. It'd be great. And then my son comes in and said, Dad, it's not good news. You have five blockages. Two of them are 98.2% blocked, and one of those is the Widowmaker artery. I'm 48 at the time, 48 years old. And so suddenly, for the very first time in my life, I was faced with a life and death situation. But God's been so good, and he's been so faithful. And so we all go through bad days. Isn't that right? We all have bad days. And it's important to realize how we learn from those bad days. And they happen to all of us. And some of you here may be in a series of bad days. Some of you may be you're in a bad day today. Pastor Stewart told us in a sermon not too long ago, you're either coming out of a bad time, you're in a bad time, or you're about to go through one. It's the truth for all of us. Isn't that right? And so what do we do with those bad days? Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes you see turtles on a fence post, and you're thinking, boy, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. But the reality is, sometimes he needed to get away from something, or we don't know. So if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he had some help. And the reality is, we don't go through life without help. So what do we do? What do we do? So here's where we start. Here's where we start. If you're having a bad day, if you are in a period of suffering, what I want you to remember is this. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. And in the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. Don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. And so no matter what you're going through, no matter what you think you're going through, you will get through this. And you will not go through it alone. I love what the Word of God says. Through the Red Sea onto dry ground. Exodus 14, 22. Through the wilderness. Deuteronomy 29, 5. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Through the deep sea, Psalm 77, 19. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Through is a favorite word of God's. And I'm very thankful for that today. Because bad days sometimes catch us off guard. And the end of it, those are always temporary things. They're always temporary things. I went to school at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was an out-of-state guy. I grew up in Mississippi most of my childhood. Graduated high school there. And so when I go to Samford, I am a new kid. I'm an out-of-state guy. I don't know very many people there. And so I'm about to experience one of the rites of passage that every college student does, and that's the first meal in the cafeteria at your college. Mom and dad aren't there anymore. You can eat what you want. Amen? All right? So I'm going through the line, and it's a Baptist school, and you're doing what you do. You know, it's the first meal of the semester. What are they going to serve? Spaghetti, okay? It's the chrome rails going down the slide thing. Okay, you have your tray. And I am so hungry, and I'm so famished, and so just, it's hot, we're moving in. I'm wearing a tank top and some shorts and some flip-flops because the dorm I lived in didn't have any air conditioning. Box fan in the window, all right? My dad was cheap. You're going to put you in the cheap house, all right? It was cheaper. And so I'm getting my tray, and I said, will you just pile on the spaghetti? I'm so hungry. And so this lady brings out a front-end loader full of spaghetti and loads it on my plate. And this is in the days of before plastic stuff, so it was real plates and real glass, and I get two big glasses of Coke, and I get this on my tray, and I am just praying, Lord, please, please let somebody invite me to come sit with them, please, because I don't want to sit by myself. And so I pick up my tray, and I walk out to where everybody's seated, and nobody says a word. Nobody says anything, and so I suddenly realize I'm going to have to sit by myself. And I don't see the ice on the floor. And so I step on this ice, and it's not just a slip like this. It's Charlie Brown missing the football and just whoah, like that. And so I fall, and my tray goes up. The noodles go up. They fall on my head. I now have dreadlock noodles, okay? The glass shatters on the floor, and it makes this terrible You've heard that noise in a restaurant. And so when that happens, the crowd noise just stops. And everybody is suddenly looking at me. And I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. You're an idiot, you know. So I've got these noodles on, and I'm trying to get everything out. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I picked up one napkin that day. One napkin. And I'm trying to get the Coke has begun to spread on the floor like an amoeba. And I'm trying to get it wrapped up, and it's just, And the next thing I realize, someone kneels down beside me. And a couple of things I notice about this person. Number one, she smells really good. The next thing I notice is she has the most beautiful hands you've ever seen in your life. And so I just kind of spread the noodles. And I look over at her, and she just has this most beautiful smile you've ever seen. And she leans over, and she starts helping me clean up, and she leans over, and she whispers in my ear, hey, it's okay. I spilled mine yesterday. I've been married to her for 31 years, and so when you have bad days, there is always a good day to follow. There is always a good day, and you will get through this thing. So what do we learn? What do we learn about bad days? Here's a couple of things. Okay, it's more than a couple. Hard times don't make me happy, but by God's grace, they can make me holy. That's what we do. God never promised us that we would ever be happy, but he did tell us you will never be alone. And I'm telling you, when you are in a hard time and the only place you have to look is to the Lord, you become more holy because you have nothing else to rely on. Hard times don't make me happy, but by God's grace, they can make me holy. Peace isn't the absence of crisis. It's the presence of Christ in my crisis. I remember after I got through with my heart surgery, I was laying in the bed and the pain, man, it was just enormous. And you know how old you are when the nurse walks in and introduces himself and said, "Hey, I went to high school with your daughter." Oh, great. Okay. And so this guy named Justin was my night nurse, and he was amazing. And one of the things I appreciate him is that he loves the Lord, and he came over to me and goes, "Hey, be okay if I pray for you?" It was amazing. You know? It was amazing. And so in that crisis in my life, the presence of Christ was made manifest. He is always with us. Just because I feel invisible, it doesn't mean I'm not valuable. And sometimes, man, when you're going through a bad day or a bad experience, you sometimes feel like I am worthless. You know, I just messed up. Maybe it's something you did on your own. Maybe it's some fault you did. And sometimes you just feel like I can't do anything right. That's not how the Lord thinks. That's not how the Lord thinks. Just because I feel invisible, it doesn't mean I'm not valuable. No matter what caused your bad day, you, someone else, something, whatever, oftentimes we can feel unworthy, alone. But that's not how the Lord thinks. And I want you to be encouraged by that. God works in our weakness because that's all he has to work with. God works in our weakness because that's all he has to work with. Sometimes when you go through these bad days, you know, you just feel helpless. Nothing is working out. Why can't I get above this? Or why can't people do what I want them to do? You know, we just feel helpless. When Katie and Nathan were younger, they had a red wagon. I don't know why I gave them that gift, but anyway, they had a red wagon. And so we lived over in Walden Point off of Pinehurst. And they had seen Daddy pull a trailer with his truck. And so Katie got on her bicycle and she hitched up a rope to the seat. And Nathan is in the wagon and they go up and down the street. It's Saturday. I'm in the garage staining some cabinets. And so they go up and down the street and they go around the corner. No big deal. Nice neighborhood. They were playing with the kids. The next thing I hear is this blood-curdling scream. And you know it's your kids. A father knows what his children sound like. Amen? And so Katie comes running back. "Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's my fault. I'm so sorry." Nathan comes around the corner, and he's covered in blood. I mean, just his face is covered in blood. And I run out there and get him, and he's crying so hard. You know how, you know how children do that, you know? And so I lay him down in the garage, and I get a cloth, and it's a 2-inch gash just right here in his head. Head's a very vascular area, right? And so it's just... it's just pumping blood. And I look up at my wife, and she's out there, and she's just shaking. I can't get it to stop bleeding, you know. And so we load him up in the truck, and we take him to the MedHelp place that used to be over across from Cabrini. It's like 4:15 in the afternoon, you know. And so we go in there, and the doctor's locking the cabinet doors and everything, and I'm carrying my son in there, and I said, "I need your help." And he goes, "Me?" "Yes, please." And so we walk in there. And he lays him down, and he says, "I'm going to have to put some sutures in there. It's not going to take but about 3, but I'm going to need your help, all right? I get nauseous when I clip my fingernails, all right? Let's clear that up, all right?" And so he said, "I'm just going to lay him down, and we're going to put the blue paper over him, and I'm going to give him a shot, and I need you to hold his head because that is not going to be very comfortable." I said, "You, okay, all right?" So I lay down, and he puts that piece of paper over him, whatever it's called, and he pulls out that shot. I swear it was a sword out of a scabbard, you know, shring, and that needle was like 9 feet long. "What are you doing to my son?" It wasn't that long, you know. But he looked at me and he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "No." And he puts that shot in there and he deadens it, and Nathan just screams. And he says, "Daddy, make it stop hurting. Make it stop hurting." I'm just holding his head, you know. And he pulls that shot out, and I mean, I'm just, tears are dripping, you know. And so I'm holding his head, and he begins to calm down and begins to slow down, and the medicine is taking over, and the doctor just starts sewing him up, and he can't feel anything. And I lean down there, And I say, Nathan, are you okay? And he goes, And the next thing I realize, his hands go on top of mine. And he says, Dad, as long as I can feel you and touch you, I'm going to be okay. Sometimes in bad days, when it doesn't seem to be going our way, we just have to realize that the Lord is at work, and all we have to do is just reach out and grab a hold and touch, and he will take care of us. Amen? Amen. Before every triumph, there is a trial. Before every testimony, there's a test. And a lot of times, the Lord will allow us to go through bad times, difficult days in our lives, just to help us understand, you need me, and I'm here. I'm here. I don't think for one second God causes bad things to happen. I don't read that in Scripture, but I do believe he allows things to happen just to bring us to a point of desperation sometimes and says, you need me. Walk with me. I'm here for you. And sometimes you will hit rock bottom, but I'm here to tell you, I'm living proof that the ground at the bottom of the rock is solid. It is solid rock, and God is there. This is hard for me. I can't stop when I feel stuck. I have to keep moving forward in faith that Jesus is stronger. You got to keep moving. You can always park it and just give up, but you can't. No matter what people say, no matter what people do, no matter what you might be thinking or what people might be thinking about you, God is bigger. God is bigger, and Jesus is stronger. We have to have faith to keep doing that. Sometimes I want to give up, but if I'm not dead, then God's not done. If I'm still breathing, then I can keep going. So it's Monday. I work in assisted living. Who knows what happens when I get back, all right? Just keep going. You keep doing. You work hard, and you do the right things. Keep moving. I can grow bitter, or I can become better. If my pain serves the purpose of seeing Jesus more clearly and sharing the gospel more boldly, then I want to embrace that, not escape it. I want to be where the Lord is at work, no matter where that places me and whether I like it or not. I work in a pagan, secular industry. And so the Lord has allowed me to embrace his gospel and to tell people that, you know what? This life is not all there is. I just want you to know that the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. I keep asking for Jesus to give me something, but he keeps trying to show me something. Man, have I learned this. But maybe the real gift is the revelation of his presence in my pain. Sometimes I think, and Pastor Stewart preached on this yesterday, sometimes we get used to our daily life in our daily walk. And Pastor Stewart said, no, we need to be feasting on the fantastic. Don't stay where you are. Ask the Lord to teach you something. And it's been amazing to me. He always does. The Lord always, that's my prayer. Every time I get up in the morning, I get in my Jeep and I go to work. Lord, lead me through this day and teach me something. Teach me something. I got called out yesterday to go up to the Canterbury House. And we have a contract with the Veterans Administration. And so we have veterans that we take care of at our place. They're wonderful guys, some of them. Anyway, there were these series of just plumbing issues that were going on, and we couldn't figure it out. So my maintenance guy got called out, and I'm up there trying to figure it out, and one of our VA guys comes up to me and says, I used to be a plumber. You want me to help you? Sure. So he comes up there, and I've got this plunger, and I'm plunging it. It's not working. He goes, you need to do it shorter and faster. Well, I can relate to that. That's exactly what I am. Amen? All right? So he comes over there, and I mean, he's just like this, you know, and breaks it all loose. It was fine. You know what? That guy just needed a friend that day because he sits by himself all the time. Mark, that's his name. I appreciate you. The Lord teaches us those kind of things. I just want the Lord to show me some things. Amen? I should stop seeking happiness in my weakness and start seeking holiness. Pain has a way of purifying my motives and clarifying my calling. That's what pain does. A bad day. That's what we do. It has a way of purifying my motives and clarifying my... There is no doubt that God is at work in our lives and in my life. And if you don't know who Jesus is today, I want to tell you about him because he will do amazing things in your life. It will clarify what you do. In a secular job, that clarification is important. Man, I need it. And it's a good thing. The things that break me are the things that bring me closer to God. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. Bad days happen. Pain will occur. Don't go through them alone. And if you see somebody having a bad day, don't be afraid to reach out. I'm living proof that people have reached out to me. I'm so thankful for Terry Townsend and Clark Palmer and Stuart Holloway. These men have just been dear, dear friends, and David Anderson, so many. Terry Townsend was at my house the second day after a traumatic time in my life. At my house, bringing me a stack of books to read. Clark Palmer called me over to his garage and said, here's 10 things you got to do. Drinking a little sweet tea in his porch, you know. It was those things that helped me get through those bad days in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. And just to have a pastor who preaches unapologetically, boldly, the Word of God every single Sunday is uplifting and encouraging. So if you're having a bad day today, I would just want you to know this. You're not going through it alone. Your Heavenly Father knows who you are. One final story. When I was growing up, my brother and I had a 1976 Chevrolet pickup. V8 350 under the hood, three on the tree. All right? We learned how to catch second. It was hard to go from first up to second, but we learned how to do it. Straight pipes, no catalytic converter. That thing would beller, okay? We'd go down the road. Hang-a! I mean, we just love the way it sounded, all right? We read in Hot Rod magazine that you could put a tornado, this little tool called a tornado, underneath a distributor cap to get more horsepower. Well, of course, we need more horsepower, you know? And so, but you had to move the distributor cap to the side of the block in order for the wires to be shortened and just develop more horsepower. So we did. So we're out there, and my dad comes out there and says, you better be careful. If rain gets on that thing gets wet, you're going to be stuck. Dad, what do you know, you know? And so we move it down there, and that truck would just, it would smoke the tires. We loved it, all right? We play baseball. We're at baseball practice. My dad's the coach. And so rain comes, typical afternoon thunderstorm in the summertime. And so we get in the truck, and we head home. 8.25 miles from my house, there's a dip in the road, okay? It's raining. What happens to the dip? It fills up with water. What are two high school boys going to do with a tornado under a Chevy truck going to go through there? We drop it in a second, and we're going to go through it, you know? And it was just one of those things. My brother's driving, and I'm with her, and he goes, you think we should? Yeah. So he drops it into second. I mean, we make those pipes just blow. I'm, rawr, you know, my dad's behind us in his truck, okay? We go through this. I mean, it just comes up over the hood. You know, my brother going, that's awesome, you know? And that truck just goes, and it just dies in the middle of the road. Of course, my brother's driving. I look over at him, you an idiot. Who told you to go through that, you know? It wouldn't start. It wouldn't do anything at all. My father gets out, you know, and it's just raining cats and dogs. We roll the window down. He said, told you not to get it wet. Gets in his truck and leaves. So now we're stranded, you know. We had to push our truck home 8.25 miles. 4.5 hours later, we roll up in the driveway. Just, I mean, we are just exhausted. The sun is out now. It's a beautiful day. My father comes out eating supper on his plate, fried chicken, black-eyed peas, my mom's favorite, our favorite meal, you know. Said, where you boys been? Oh, you know. And so he said, pop the hood. And so we popped the hood. And my dad is a farmer. He carries one of those bandana handkerchiefs. He'll be buried with that, you know. And he said, pull the distributor cap off. And he wiped it off, put it back on. He goes, crank it up. I went, oh, if this truck starts, you know, I looked at my brother and said, I will punch you, you know. And so he got in there, put the key in the ignition, and it fired right up. Ow, you know, I was going like, Dad, why didn't you help us? And this is what he said, because you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me. Sometimes all the Lord needs is our willingness to say, I need your help. It's all he needs. And so today, whatever it is you're going through, I want you to be encouraged that the Lord knows who you are. He has not forgotten about you, and he cares about you. And I pray that you're living for him in everything that you do, because life is hard. Amen? Life is hard. And sometimes we need to help a turtle on a fence post, because there are people that need that. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much.